the course of this country forward. Again, we're meeting at a time of level one, where there's a threat of second waves, but we are being reassured by a number of people that as long as we physically distance, we wash hands, we sanitize, we avoid big meetings that are congested and so on, we can save this country from another lockdown, which has got all the economic detrimental effects. We don't want to go back there. One of the challenges, of course, honorable members, is we are meeting at a time when the head of the state has presented a recovery plan, which at some stage we need to sit as portfolio committee, of course, with the department to check where does it place the social sector, where we work, and so on. And we've just been told that Honorable Member Ngwenya is not well. We hope she gets well very quickly, but I'll get more other apologies. Can we go to the apologies, Lindy?
In addition to Member Ngwenya's apology, we have received an apology from the Deputy Minister who won't be with us today due to prior commitments. So those are the only two apologies I've received thus far. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. Oh, well, the minister is here, it's fine, sorry. The agenda is before us, one of the members. It's just, from my understanding, the second quarter report, discussions, and closure. We don't want to take a lot of time. My finance minister today is going to present the medium-term budget policy statement, which is a very critical statement taking into account where our country is. Naturally, I don't want to be in his boots because he must demonstrate that we are reacting to the changes that were not anticipated in terms of the state of economy, in terms of the presentation by the president. I won't go to the details of that, but I'm just trying to highlight how important the event is. Having said that, can I table the agenda, honorable members?
Chair, I will move for the adoption.
Yes,
thank you very much. I know members of this committee like progress. Thank you, Honorable Fundamental. Any seconder?
Mangani?
Yes, because I moved to second that.
I got Mangani first, but he spoke softer than you, Honorable Seka. But both of you have seconded. I'm fine with that. Makeba. Why in your hands?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for those introductory remarks. And indeed, as you indicated, as social development also, we have to up our stake in as far as the communication and assisting our people to appreciate the challenges of COVID-19 from a point of view of the infection deaths and all that. So I think that as a department, we have a responsibility to communicate that to our people so that we don't find ourselves in the second wave. And if we do, it must not be as devastating as we've seen it in other countries. So in my presentation here, I'm not the one to present. It is the department that has to present. So I would say, Deputy Minister, thank you for being here. Chairperson, thank you. Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, thank you for here. The department, as well as the entire portfolio, SASSA and NDA. Firstly, let me say to the Portfolio Committee, it's always a pleasure for me to be here because as I've always said, I believe that this is a platform that is a necessity and necessary for our governance, and in particular for the people of South Africa, because the portfolio members who are here are representing their constituencies. So I take it that when they are here, their interest is to hear from us what is it that we are doing in order to serve the people that they represent. in Parliament. And so while today marks 186 days since the lockdown has been declared, the performance account that you will be receiving today will detail the key success and challenges that we have encountered during the implementation of the defined constitutional, legislative, and programmatic imperatives during quarter two. And I must say, honorable members, that in my engagements with the department and the portfolio overall, I'm always saying that when we move from one quarter to the other quarter, we're carrying the challenges of the previous quarter, we're learning lessons from the previous quarter, and we make sure that in the next quarter coming, we try and deal with those challenges. But of course, we celebrate where we have been able to be successful. Among the unprecedented yet beneficial success that we have, we were and still are in the forefront of the technological innovation that we implemented pursuant to delivering the special COVID-19 social relief of distress. And I think you will see that when SASSA is making that presentation. This was accompanied by the top-ups of defined categories of social grants. And I think that historians of social protection system will look back at that fact and note our feat in strengthening and technological limits of our social protection system. During this period, much needed social protection was extended to the more than 6 million beneficiaries. And Chairperson, as I say this, I'm also reminded of the fact that I'm going through the Social Security Review 2020, which I think is of utmost importance to us as a portfolio to look at as we review, and it's the first review of its kind. In exercising oversight in our implementation of the applicable programs and whether such implementation is generating the desired social outcomes and impact, the honorable members are doing so in fulfillment of their role that is intrinsic to South Africa's democratic and developmental outlook. Namely, you are representing, promoting, and safeguarding our people's collective interests, aspirations, and well-being. And I must say, Chairperson, that I consistently remind the portfolio to always keep on going back to the first meetings that we used to have and the workshop that we had where you clearly stipulated as the portfolio committee what the expectations were on the way forward. And may I also say, maybe take this opportunity to also say, Chairperson, that I have signed the performance agreement with the president, and I think it's one of the things that members might have an interest in as to what is in the performance agreement. And what is in the performance agreement basically is what the department and the ministry have to do, but of course I have to show that leadership there. And let me at the outset reassure the honorable members that increasingly and with different subject matters, the department, SASSA and NDA are paying close attention to your concern, insights and advice. This is becoming self-evident in that the programmatic and functional aspects of social development portfolio are gravitating towards you. I view this as nothing less than the management of the department and the entities acknowledging the symbiotic value of the relationship they have entered into with the portfolio committee in the service of South Africans. Further, the honorable members will be pleased to know that I do raise your priorities during my regular meetings with MECs during our MINMEC, and I insist on the fact that they also have to look at the questions that you normally ask and try in the best way to make sure that they respond, not only from a point of view of the portfolio committee, but also in the view of the provincial legislatures. I'm mindful that as a department, SASSA and NDA are delivering, we are delivering this account of the second quarter performance report. They are not doing so merely to comply with some of the procedural requirements or another. Rather, at the center of their delivery of the quarter two performance report to you today is the reflection on programs and the resource that have been allocated to them in a manner that is informed by the need to carry and promote the aspirations, interests, well-being and highest realization of South Africans. In practical, profound ways, the social development portfolio needs to be counted among the first trailblazers who are transcending the state of the collective panic and helplessness that the coronavirus 2019 has implanted into most people, where the pandemic has made its unpleasant mark. while noting that South Africa is a developing society whose COVID-19 defense infrastructure falls short of that which one would find in any random developed country. It is clear that the economic shocks of this pandemic will echo in our lives for some years to come. And Honorable Chair, you spoke about the midterm budget that's going to be presented here today. It's been something that we've been working on as a department, also contributing towards and engaging very robustly about what we think should happen in as far as the Department of Social Development is concerned, or the entire portfolio, by the way. So sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. Having all the odds against us, the COVID-19 conditions demand that the Department of Social Development should immediately and aggressively explore and secure alternative and innovative resources with which the unemployed social service professionals can meaningfully be absorbed into the economy. Among innovative alternative resources that the department needs to identify and explore are the prioritization and repurposing of legislated corporate social investment, CSI funds towards the social development outcomes. The department needs to come up with a clear, implementable and convincing value proposition of how, among others, the long-standing challenge of social service professionals is definitely going to be resolved. Forthwith, the department will also embrace the abundance of social innovation as well as innovatively repurposing existing solutions to address existing and emergent and uniquely South African social development challenges. Where this relates to the economic absorption of social service professionals, we must note that the dire shortage of these professionals in different public and private institutions as well as our communities is nothing short of catastrophe in the making. Chairperson, through these reports, you will see how as a portfolio we are fine-tuning our strategic focus within the context of the new normal and the increased demand of our services. This new normal forced us to consider sharply how we can become more agile, robust and flexible in responding to any events such as COVID-19 while still delivering the required services at the increased level, tighten focus and reprioritize on what needs to be done given the looming budget cuts, deliver our services by working and communicating in an integrated manner with all portfolio partners, deliver the impact we have committed ourselves to and to this committee so that the quality of life of all South Africans is improved, refocus our approach to access and enrich communities and households by creating partnership with civil society, faith-based private sector, faith-based organization and private sector to quickly respond to community and household social shocks, create and consolidate evidence-based structure within the portfolio to ensure that production and access to evidence-based information for portfolio planning, monitoring, evaluation, and learning from our collective COVID-19 interventions and efforts. Identify and develop strategic partnerships in both the public and private sector that will complement and ensure that effectiveness of our legislative mandate is fulfilled. Chairperson, I now will hand over to the Acting Director General to present the second quarter performance report for your consideration, and he will be the one that indicates who's presenting what. And having taken this long time, Chairperson, I'm doing so not because I'm wanting members of the portfolio committee not to be robust and ask the questions. I'm just putting the political aspect and the approach that I have as a minister together with the DM in ensuring that we monitor and direct the implementation of our programs. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister. We understand. Thank you for that input. Proceed.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, members of the committee, and Minister, for the remarks. Let me build from, or let me rather take a cue from the guidance from the Minister's remarks.
Sorry, Honorable, sorry, ADG. Has anyone disabled the videos here? Yeah. Can we sort that out, technicians? Proceed, because it appears we can't see anyone. ADG, I couldn't see the minister, and I don't like that. Can people sort that out? Thank you. Proceed, ADG.
Thank you very much, Chair. And once again, good morning to all the members. Also, let me welcome and greet our colleagues from the organization, including our CEOs and colleagues from the agencies. I will try and breeze through the presentation as quickly as possible. Immediately after I'm done, Chairperson, I would then ask for the NDA to make the presentation as it relates to the work of the NDA, as well as the followed by SASA thereafter, so that we're able to take those accordingly. But Chair, I will beg your indulgence that as we go along the presentation, there are some programs that I would like to just pause and ask one of our colleagues after the program. I'll indicate so to really speak to what the chairperson and the committee has been saying. When we put these programs together, we put them together on the basis that they must have an impact on the ordinary South Africans on the ground. And we want to demonstrate that we are listening to the committee. We want to demonstrate as we go per program that this is the value for money we are deriving from the programs. But in addition to the value for money, this is the impact to the organization, but also this is the impact to ordinary South Africans. So we want to show to this committee the actual impact that is being derived by some of our programs. And we'll just pick a few, Chair, and this is against your guidance in the previous engagement. Can we go to slide number 2 on the presentation? Let's get to the contextual analysis, and I think members have received the presentation. I will try and be very quick on this. So as you see, Chair, on slide number 2, of course, this is our second quarter report, and it's based on the revised APP in line with the guidance that we've had from DPFB and, of course, government as a whole, insofar as amending our APP. So this is a true reflection of the work that we've started working through insofar as quarter 2 is concerned. As you recall, quarter 1 was the previous APP, and this is the new APP. And we're saying that we're reporting a 31% improvement in our performance trends from Q1. You'd recall in Q1 we were at 50%. But in saying all of this, we are saying that we still strive to meet the 100% mark. And even though we've improved by 31%, which is higher than our original set target of 25%, we think that much more still needs to be done. And I think it's important to highlight that we are our reports depict the work of the organization during the most difficult times, of course, brought upon by COVID-19 and the so-called new normal that the minister has also spoken about. We also want to say that COVID-19 has pushed and really challenged us as an organization, as a portfolio, rather to think deeper around the work that we do, to be much more agile, to find innovative ways to respond and provide services to the much felt needs of our people on the ground. And I think the minister made mention of this. And maybe just to highlight, we've had to adapt quite quickly in terms of utilizing technology. We've had to look at our programs and see where we are having historical problems and bring in business process re-engineering elements. We are looking at partnerships, of course, as well with various organizations. And of course, the minister spoke about some of the innovative measures that we've put in place, and we'll speak to some of these as we go along. I think the other important element is that we've had to look at our own capacity and find a way of, in some cases, unlearning and relearning certain work responsibilities. And we are pushing ahead in terms of investing, therefore, in our people, in our staff, and this is across the organization and across the portfolio, rather. We're saying that we really look, we're taking pride in the fact that as a portfolio, we reach millions of people through our services across the Republic, and in particular through social relief measures, psychosocial support, and care, amongst others. We're saying that we've managed to cushion millions of people from the worst effects of the impact of COVID-19 through the work that we've done. And I think that's a very significant element to state at this meeting. Let me also say, Chair, that we've consistently been following through on the guidance from the committee. And as I indicated, we'll speak to this. We'll talk to you about results-based reporting, which is exactly what the committee wanted us to do. And we'll talk to that as we go through the presentation. But I must at this juncture appreciate the portfolio committee and its wisdom for also calling on provinces to come on board and come in to provide guidance, because at a national level, at times some of the work is dealt with on the ground by provinces, and I think it's helpful when provinces come and they're able to engage in some of these things, and I think that's very useful. I think what we want to say is that we're obviously recommitting ourselves and the lessons and experiences we learned into becoming an agile portfolio and to reinvent our interventions to more responsive to the much felt needs of our people. And I think what's important here is that we've just come out of a strat plan session where we've dealt with the impact on the sector, but we are looking at it within the context of reinventing and reimagining social development. And of course, we're utilizing the elements of the new normal, which is COVID-19 and the budget cuts, which Eamon has spent. We are refocusing so that we're able to engage and align to government priorities, such as the district development model. And of course, we are looking at different ways of investing in people in terms of capacity within the organization. So we are looking at bringing on specialists within the organization, particularly business process re-engineering experts, development economists, actuarial scientists as well, that will assist us with modeling, data analysts, ICT specialists, just to identify a few so that we are able to improve our work and improve not just our efficiencies, but in the way in which we respond also to members of the public. I think the demand, of course, continues for our work as a sector, and we continue to engage with Treasury and other related organizations, particularly with regards to food security, so other social services, and of course, social workers. If we go to the next slide. Chair, on this slide, we're just highlighting to you that from the 58 targets we had, we've achieved 47 of these targets, and I will speak to how we got to this, et cetera. And number of targets that were partially achieved were 4, not achieved were 7. So we can go to the next slide and I'll speak a little bit more to this. Let me just say, Chair, which is a fundamental point I must make at this point. This we've achieved 81% in our performance as an organization in the past quarter. I must highlight here that this is the first time in about 4 years or so that we've achieved an 80% mark. And that's a significant improvement in the work that we are doing as an organization. The last time we saw an 80% achievement, Chair, and the committee was to test was 2016 financial year. And so I think it's important that I just say that we've improved our performance at a very, very tremendous level. And of course, we strive for 100%, and we're not yet there. But it's important to highlight that much more still can be done. We accept that there's still some challenges and some weaknesses in the system that we are trying to ensure that we address. If we were to look at some of these targets right now, today, in terms of some of those that were partially achieved, actually, we would have shifted to 88%, which is a significant achievement. If you are at university, Chair, you know that this is a cum laude pass, or what we call a first-class pass. So I think it's important to highlight that we've achieved the first-class pass, and it's significant because we are moving from a 50% base achievement in the previous financial year, and I think it's significant that I really just indicate that. And of course, those areas that are partially achieved, and as I indicated, we had targets of 25% increase, and we've shifted to 31%. And some of those areas that have been partially achieved, and I'll speak to those a little later as we go on, actually have now been achieved. The time at which we presented the report, and of course, we're using the reporting period, some areas were not achieved. But right now, if you have to relook at this thing and you say, but have you actually achieved everything? We are 88%, and that's a significant achievement. And I thank the colleagues in this regard. I want to also say that the methodology that we're using, Chair, is actually working. The methodology and the guidance coming from the committee that we're beginning to use is making a difference, and it's working, particularly around planning, being a lot smarter in terms of the manner in which we place our targets, using the science, and indeed paying attention to the impact of the work that we are doing. It's making a difference, Chairperson. You can see it, the members of the committee can see it by the massive achievement that we've gained here. And I think from this base, only better can be achieved. We're still thriving from 100%. And I can tell you before the end of this financial year, I have a strong sense that indeed we will achieve this 100% in the next two quarters that lie ahead. And as I said, most of the stuff already has actually been processed accordingly. Let's go to the next slide and let me try and just talk to program one in particular. So two areas that were not achieved in this regard. Information management systems and technology, as well as monitoring and evaluation, do not fully achieve their planned targets due to delays in finalization of procurement processes. Maybe let me say here that one of the key challenges we had, particularly as it relates to, the BAC has now met and those areas are actually dealt with, and we've actually moved past this area. So that's dealt with. But in terms of the M&E, it's important the committee understands why we did not achieve this. It's partly, largely because you'd recall, members, that Treasury during the lockdown had issued a directive indicating that all procurement related to COVID-19 and all processes that relate to COVID-19 have to be signed off and approved by the National Treasury. Now, we submitted all of these timelessly, and as we stand today, we received confirmation of these last week. So it's taken a long time, and we understand that Treasury has a number of departments to deal with these. ADG. Yes, sir.
Before you pass here, it's important for you to clarify so that we follow you. When you say IMSTMNE, this procurement is a procurement of what?
So it's the digital M&E systems that we had spoken about in the previous meeting.
What are you procuring?
We are procuring the services of organizations that will assist us in improving the manner in which we record our work and we dispense our work, particularly as it relates to monitoring and evaluation. So we are trying to have a more